Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, because that's my Wednesday night intro. I pray everyone is well and truly blessed this evening. It is October the 10th, 2013, and in case you think you've got the wrong place, I will clear that up for you. Yes, if you are listening to the Pastor J. Rouse Show, praise God. We are still on this wonderful, wonderful island of Barbados. And I am actually broadcasting live. If I could tell you where I was, you would laugh. And I know my family's going to laugh, but praise God. But it's nice to know that I'm surrounded by family. Praise the Lord. So all I will say is I am broadcasting live from a secret location. Praise God. And I'm still on the island. and I will give you some parameters. I will give you this much information. I will say St. Michael, Barbados. That's all I'm saying. Praise God. I hope everyone is well this evening, and we're still having flavor for the month, because we can't but enjoy ourselves if we're here on this wonderful island, and we have so much to do. And tonight, we are continuing our show from yesterday, and that's why this is a special edition of the Pastor J. Rouse Show. So, we're going to play some music just to remind us that we are here and enjoying ourselves. So we are going to go ahead and enjoy. Oops, sorry, I've got something happening here. Yes, there we are. It is going to be JD. There we go. That's who I'm looking for. This guy is so much fun. So let's have Caribbean Praise, because we're in the Caribbean. We're going to praise and go for it tonight. And then we've got some really hot topics. And I don't mean hot like Barbados. I'm really hot in the sun hot, but steamy hot. Caribbean Praise by JD.
Little island, Tobago, and we know who's the Almighty.
Jump and praise, jump and praise. This is Caribbean Praise. Amen. Praise God. All right. Now, while we were here, we've been promoting this lady's music for some time now, and she's been with us from the very beginning, and we're very proud of her. She's a wonderful, sweet lady, and I am going to play her interview, and then we're going to hear some of her music. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you and remind others of the one and only Norma Aline, direct from Barbados. Enjoy.
Good afternoon or good evening. This is Pastor Jay Rouse, and we're here once again at the beautiful Blue Orchid Beach Hotel, and we're in our interview studio room. Once again, lovely evening out. It's been a warm day today. I can truly say it's been very hot today. We've had quite a few hot days, but it's cooled off lovely, and we've got the sea is doing its thing. It can be your friend or it can be your enemy. Tonight, the red flag is up, and that means you're not allowed to go into the water. So I guess this is where they would say, everyone into the pool. This is a night for swimming in the pool. But other than that, it's still a beautiful, cool breeze evening. We did have our patio door open for the interview room, but the problem is the birds. Bob Marley spoke of three little birds sitting outside his doorstep. Well, our birds don't sit outside. They want to come in. And so we've had to pull in our patio door. But they're the cutest little baby doves you'll ever see in your life. Speaking of cute, I am here with the wonderful Norma Aline. And she's here in Barbados. We have been playing her music since June.
Yes.
Since June, praise God. And she's slowly getting recognized. Amen.
Yes, amen.
Your time is coming. He's an on-time God. He'll be there. He may not be there when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. The song says amen. Now, we want to know, outside of the beautiful songs that we hear, and I was even humming it a few minutes ago, a little embarrassing. I was humming the song and not even aware that I was humming the song, and I'm sure her head must have swelled, but I couldn't help it. It's very catchy, and I do play it a lot. So, who is Norma Aline? I know Norma Aline is somebody of great importance and has gone through some trials and tribulations.
Well, I'm a mom and singer-songwriter. I'm also a massage therapist. I have a small spa. I do manicure, pedicures.
You got to give a shout-out to your spa. What's the name of the spa?
Yes, it's called Rani Health Spa. I'm also using the name Rani for my music.
Yeah.
Yes, so...
Okay.
And it's been doing very well.
Okay, well, maybe I'll have to check it out. There you go.
You do.
All right. So, and you're a mom. You have two kids, if I'm correct.
Yes.
Okay. You want to share with us a little bit about your rugrats?
Well, a 14-year-old and an 8-year-old, at this time, they're like helping out a lot.
Yes.
You know?
Praise God.
Yes.
Amen. So now... I know you have a passion for Jesus, and you took your passion and you said, I'm going to put it into words and into song, but I also know that you have one particular song that has a deeper meaning and it has a story to go with it. Tell us a little bit about your music.
Okay, that song is called He Cares, and I wrote it, it was a time when my husband had left, and it was really, really a hard time. I had to do extra jobs. I mean, work harder than I've ever worked in my entire life. And still listening to them wanting daddy. And it was really a hard time. But God really kept me through and gave me some strength that I thought I would get sick.
Right.
How I was working. And I was still going to church, still writing, still singing at church. So that was it. It's all definitely God's strength that, you know, I'm working on.
And it's true. You know, I have a philosophy that I always tell people. We always say that the Bible says he never gives you more than you can bear. And I think most of us get to a point where we think, you know what, I can't bear anymore.
Yes.
here's how I've always handled that. If God doesn't give you more than you can bear, that means that no matter what, there's no breaking point. So even when you think you're reaching the breaking point, whatever you're going through, he will stop it before you break. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. And that it's testimony, because I mean, when you think about how many of us have broken. We may not be able to deal with what we get, or how far it goes, or how long. Remember, fruits of the Spirit says long suffering.
Yes.
And sadly, some of us suffer really long.
Really long.
But at the same point, I have endured the logic that if God truly doesn't give you more than you can bear, then no matter how bad it gets, it's never going to break.
Yes.
He'll always bring you to the brink and bring you back. Amen.
Yes. Just at the point of you think this is it.
Mm-hmm.
He shows up and it's better.
It's better. It's better.
Yes.
And so he endured the strength that you needed to get through.
Yes.
He cares. Tell us a little bit about the words and he cares, other than we know that he does truly care.
Yeah, well, it was at a time that I was feeling like that nobody cared.
Mm-hmm.
It was out of a broken heart, because loving my husband, I still do. After 6 years he's left.
Mm-hmm.
I was waiting for him to come home that day.
Mm-hmm.
From work. I didn't know he had a ticket bought.
Mm-hmm.
And he had his bags packed.
Oh, he really left. He didn't just go from the house.
No, he left. And
he left the country?
Left the country.
Wow.
Left us.
Wow.
And I was waiting for him to come home.
Mm-hmm.
And there was someone else waiting also for him. And he said he'll be coming home
shortly.
Soon.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And normally when I see him after 10 years of marriage, I still feel excited every time I see him.
Aww.
And waiting for him to come home, then I get a phone call. Who is this? It was him saying that he is in Guyana.
Wow.
He has left. That was shock. I'm still getting over that shock after 6 years.
I don't think you're over it, though. It's still, because you can see it on her face,
sudden.
And every time she has a look, because it is shocking. I mean, we're not talking about somebody who just packed up and left the house.
Yes. And we were good. We didn't have a problem. You know, we weren't fighting or anything, so. So it was very sudden, but I knew he wanted us to go back. He actually wanted me and the children to go back and him to work.
Okay, because I didn't want to put your personal business out there. It's being videotaped and it's also on audio. But the thing is, I was thinking, have you communicated with him? Because I'm thinking maybe he was homesick.
It wasn't so much of homesick. He is just not committed.
Mm-hmm.
He has left me for that 10 years. He has left about 5 times.
Oh, wow.
So
it wasn't like it was the very first time.
No,
but
no.
This was the biggest
was the
movement.
Short time. This
right.
is it. And because he's so far, it helped me to get over and to,
mm-hmm.
to stand
build up and,
yeah, and
do
depend on God.
Amen. Amen.
And allow him to help me.
So, and as you said in the song, he cares. So even when you think nobody cares, he cares.
Yes.
Amen. Come with me.
Yeah.
I will give you rest.
Yeah, that's a song also that I was feeling
tired and heavy laden.
Yes.
Yes.
I remember I wrote that song when there was the tragic incident with Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking about the person. I was in a situation where my husband had left, but I was thinking that they're worse off.
Yes.
Because it was on the news and it was really fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And I was writing that song, how desperate you're feeling.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get a chorus to the song, and I went to the Bible and I think
the scripture
there, come unto me, all who are heavy laden. And it just came with a melody, and I thank God for it.
I will give you rest, amen.
Yes, I don't have to fight hard for the song. I really thank God how I get it.
And it's catchy, and I like it's got ding, 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 and I love it. It's got a, it's kind of cute, and it's got a little bit of a Caribbean beat, but a very mild Caribbean beat, and just off into the background. I really enjoy that one too. It's cute. Now you do have another song that you said that you've got out, basically.
I actually did not record it as yet, but I was teaching the church the other day, and I'm planning on doing some songs like that to teach the congregation. And the songs are so catchy.
Yeah.
I didn't even have to teach them. From
right, they
the
caught
time
on.
I started to sing.
They picked
they were
it up.
Singing, picking up altos. And
oh, yeah, they broke it down. Okay. I tell you, no one sings like church folks. Amen. They throw music together in a second. That's what I love when you go to the really big churches and you could be a guest preacher there and you could start singing a song nobody knows. And then you hear, dee, dee. And next thing you know, the organist is playing.
It.
And he's got the whole song. And then the drummer comes in. And then the guitar comes in. And you're like, what? And by the time you're midway through the song is kicking. And everybody's into the groove.
Yes.
And yeah, it's a good feeling. So that's, so you're actually writing songs that your church can sing.
Yes. And that one was about total commitment to God.
Mm-hmm.
Everything belongs to God, my life, money.
Mm-hmm.
And it was ironic. They asked me to sing a song, and the theme was It All Belongs to You.
Yes.
And this song,
it was timed.
It was timed, yes.
Perfect. But this actually is a prelude then, because you wrote songs that were inspirational, but now you're actually doing church music.
Yes.
You never thought of it that way, did you?
No, I'm just following.
It's a different level. It's a different level. Praise God. So what is a day-to-day thing for somebody like you? I know you're not performing everywhere.
Yeah.
You're still booking places. You're working on CDs, or you're still got your stuff now. I know you've got your music is available for purchase on where? Is it
iTunes? I just have two songs on CDs for sale.
Mm-hmm.
I generally just sell those to clients that come through. I tell them about the music and stuff like that. It's not really in stores, or I'm not really pushing it as yet. I was waiting until I'm finished the album.
Well, I'm going to put it out there. Rouse Ministries Broadcast and Communications. You've heard her songs on our show, and we continue to play it. And if you want to get copies, then you need to get in touch with us, and we'll connect you to Norma Aline. We're not going down like that. All right. Yeah. So now you've got those songs.
But I'm really blessed. Really blessed that people are really connecting with the song, because that's my real
purpose
in doing it, so that persons will be blessed.
Oh, yeah, and it's obviously touching lives.
Yes.
And that's important. You had a job to do and you did it. And God would say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Now, I know you were saying something about a band. You said you're involved with a band now?
Yes, we're actually getting ready for our big launch next month, the 17th.
Okay.
It's my birthday, 17th of November,
okay.
So we'll have a big, big launch.
Oh, she's going to be 22. I don't know if that wink shows up in the video, but I'm going to tell it on audio. It's a very big wink. It was 22.
Yeah.
And so now you've got a band, so you can tour and you can perform.
Yes, we already will be launching on the 17th, and we have a few other bookings so far. Not much, but.
Okay.
After the launch, definitely.
It'll be, so if somebody books you, it would be a combination of other gospel songs as well as your own.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because it's three known artists come together and we have a full band.
Okay, so they have their own music as well.
Yes.
Okay, so then it's actually full independent shows because everybody has their own different songs and you support each other.
Yes.
Very
so
good.
We back up each other.
Oh, I like that.
It's really good. We have lots of fun. And
I don't know if I can get back for November, but it sounds very interesting. Well, you know you have to keep us posted, right?
I will.
Okay. And definitely we'll continue to promote you and put you out there, and we know how to connect with you. Now, I know your songs are available online. Can you tell everybody where?
It's on Reverb Nation, Rani Truth Ministries. But if you go to my Facebook page, because you could listen to it and download it for free, if you go on my Facebook page, Norma Aileen, in brackets, Rani.
And Rani is R-A-N-I. Okay.
And Rani Music at Facebook.com. You just click on the band profile, and you get all the information. There's the video, there's the music video to the song, Come With Me, also there.
Okay, wonderful. All right, is there anything else you want to add or share or do a shout-out to your church or someplace?
Well, I go to Halls Road Nazarene. I just became a member last week.
Oh, very good. Okay.
I have been going, and I'm like, you know.
For a long time.
For a long
membership.
Time, but not.
It was a commitment for membership.
Yeah, and I think what drove me to commit is because my son got baptized.
Okay, very good.
Yes, yeah, so we came in together. I went through the Converse class with him.
Okay.
And which is a new members class. Although mm-hmm. I've been baptized since I was 16, mm-hmm. now 17.
Mm-hmm. I know. Yeah, that's 22 she'll be on then, November 17. We got to keep these numbers straight.
Yeah, so that was good. I really felt good as a mother going through the class with him.
Okay. And it's actually educational for yourself. Because yes. There's a lot of, it makes you relive stuff.
Yes.
And you actually feel yourself dedicating while you're going through and studying.
Definitely,
yeah?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think.
Because God never stopped teaching and pulling you. Mm-hmm. It's like you could never get close enough.
And what you knew at 16 is a lot different than what you know now. And this is why I think the Bible never gets outgrown. Yeah. Because every time you read a scripture, it has different meaning and different purpose throughout every stage of your life, every walk of your life, every day. Today, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, could mean, okay, he loves me. But tomorrow when you're falling apart, and then you realize how much he loves you.
Yes.
The next day after that, you could be thinking, I have a son. I could never give up my son. Wow, he's amazing. So every day when you look at it with a different perspective.
Yes.
And fresh anointing, I like to call it, because you are in different phases of your life and different phases of your walk.
Yes.
And every scripture will always be different every time you look at it. And
yes.
It have a different purpose and a different meaning.
God speaks something different to your ear.
Amen.
Every time.
Amen. Is there anything else you want to add?
Oh, one more thing. Mm-hmm. I am actually generally the only Christian in my family. Mm-hmm. My mom came from Hindu background.
Oh, okay.
So I actually was, wanting to encourage persons to contribute to missions. If you can go to missions, because a lot of times we take a lot of things for granted.
Mm-hmm.
My mom would not have become a Christian if her godmother was
had
not taken her to Sunday school. Yeah, she did sow that seed, and she became a Christian and was dragging me along. I mean, I was like stuck under her arm along everywhere she went, So it definitely, when that time came to accept Jesus Christ, I did. It was not a hard decision, and most of my families are Hindu, and so you never know. Sometimes you're witnessing to one person, and it seems like nothing is happening there, but that person's daughter will be.
You don't know who's going to hear the testimony, basically.
Yes.
So now, what was it like? Because they're still Hindus?
Yes.
So how is that? How do they accept the fact that you're a Christian? Is that a tough thing, or?
No, actually, I did not grow up with them. My mom died when I was 9 years old, and my older sister took care of me.
Right.
So we basically lived apart from them. But we visit and so on. And, but it was my mom who was the accepting part, because she would visit and she would talk about Jesus, and they would, try to persuade her about certain things.
Right.
She was sick with her heart, and they used to want to blame that
on
thing, but she knew better and she held out.
Amen, amen. Yeah. So it's important that the life that you live, you just don't know who you're affecting.
Yes.
And to minister. You can minister by words or just by being who you are in good deeds. Amen?
Yes. Sometimes it seems in vain, but allow God to do His thing. Allow God to do the work, because He's definitely working.
Okay. All right. So what are we looking for in the future that we can maybe say we would like to see happen, but we know that everything's in God's hands?
You mean for me?
Yes.
That's questions sound very tricky. I am currently living with my two children and some extra company. Godly would be nice.
Yes, okay. And I don't think she wants Pastor J. Rouse moving in, so. Well, you heard that, gentlemen. Obviously, if you like children and a 22-year-old, praise God. Well, you know what? God will send who He's supposed to send when He's supposed to send him. Amen?
Yeah.
And I think with your hands full, then maybe what's going to happen is God will prepare. Sometimes it can be a distraction, but you just never know. Hey, you've got a band and you're going to be touring. You never know. Amen? Praise God. I'm just going to pray with you before we end. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this sweet girl. Father, continue to bless her. Continue to strengthen her, encourage her, and heal her heart, Father God. I can tell there's still some scars. But Father God, we know that you are the healer of all wounds. And Father, you said that you would always make the crooked straight. So we ask right now that you fix what needs to be fixed and repair it, and continue to allow her to share her testimony with the world or anyone she comes near. Father, we ask too that you would keep a hand on her business, on her music ministry. And Father God, we ask that you bless her children, that you continue to watch over them. And Father, that they would keep their eyes stayed on you. And Father, we just thank you and praise you and ask that you would search her heart and know her heart's desires and fulfill all her dreams, all her blessings, and allow her in her obedience to be blessed, because she loves you and we know you love her too. And watch over her. She's your child. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Norma, for coming. And we'll continue to keep promoting the music.
Thank you so much.
I cannot wait to hear the church songs. Amen. So you know you got to get
You'll
us
probably
hooked up.
Hear the church is singing, because
yes.
I would just allow God to do His thing.
Amen. Amen. Will you keep us updated? And we will always continue to keep you promoted, okay?
Yes.
Thank you again. This is Pastor J. Rouse once again signing out with the beautiful Norma Aileen. We will have to remember, make a note to self, November the 17th, that we have to do our birthday shout-out for Miss Norma on our show. And we're here closing off so we can enjoy the rest of this lovely evening at the Blue Orchid Beach Hotel in beautiful Barbados. God bless you till we meet again.
And that was Norma Aileen, singer, songwriter, woman of God, business owner, business entrepreneur, band member, and mom. Praise God. And this is her song, He Cares, by Norma Aileen.
I think I'm alone in this world.
Amen. And I'm so glad that it does care, aren't you? Now, speaking about caring people, or did I say carry? No, I said caring. There we go. But we are going to hear from a carry holder, also known as Coach Carry, personal trainer Carry. He is just got it going on. He basically has CrossFit, Island Fit. He and a bunch of important people have gotten together and brought something so very different out into the world, not just to Barbados, but to the world, and I think it's key. But I thought, I like the word push. Technically, it means pray until something happens, and you really should do that. But push is exactly what Carry Holder does. He pushes and he encourages and he makes something happen. And the people he pushes, well, I think they're truly better and a lot different for it. And I thank God for him and for those who are part of all he is doing at CrossFit Island Fit. Check out this. Push.
Wincy Amka. Well, I'll tell you where you are. You're in the room, and you're willing with your tool. Don't waste time calling his name. He won't come back for you. You will never push your way out. These walls will crush you.
Well, look, we come to push again. We pressing up until the end. Cause Jesus coming back again. Don't you forget this, my friend. This pressing thing will never end. This pushing thing will never end. This praying thing will never end. This prison thing will never end. Push, push, push.
Pray. Amen. Let's check out what's going on at CrossFit Island Fit.
This is Pastor Jay Rouse, and once again from the wonderful and most beautiful island of Barbados. We are here live on location with one of our ultimate sponsors and our first foreign sponsors of the Pastor J. Rouse Show and Rouse Ministries Broadcasting and Communication. I'm at the actual gym of CrossFit Island Fit, and I'm so excited. I was watching them do some workouts earlier with Coach Carey, as they would call him, and the discipline that these people put into it, I thought it was just amazing. I know I would have to come here, but he would be patient with me. But I realized from the different classes that he has various types of workouts for different people. And I've noticed, depending on everyone's weaknesses, he handles them individually. So, we're here with the very handsome Carey Holder, and we're going to get some more information. So, who is Carey Holder?
Who is Carey Holder? Carey Holder is a fitness professional who's been around for about 10-plus years in the industry in Barbados, and around CrossFit for about 2 years. And I've been personal training, running gyms, and so on and so forth for that time.
Okay. And I know you have previous gym experience, so this is nothing new to you. So what exactly brought CrossFit Island Fit into action? Because, I mean, this isn't an ordinary gym.
No, it definitely isn't. This is definitely a different entity. How did this come about? I actually resigned my post as a personal trainer at a previous establishment, and I was approached by two doctors who were interested in having a fitness professional on board to start their dream of CrossFit here on the island. So we had some meetings and we discussed some things, and then, as they say, the rest is history.
Okay. Now, what exactly is CrossFit? I know we have like Pilates and different things where you use your own physical body to strengthen your own body. It sounds almost ironic. So those who are in the industry would actually know what I was talking about. But for those who don't, basically it would be you stretching your limbs, your ligaments, your muscles, and pushing them to a point where they not just stretch, but they develop some form of muscle. So what exactly is CrossFit?
Right, so CrossFit is defined as constantly varied, high-intensity functional movement. Okay, that's the textbook term of CrossFit. CrossFit is...
studied.
Yes. CrossFit is cross-training, is essentially what it is. But what I like to tell people is that it's not really that simple. CrossFit is to cross-training what our smartphones now are to rotary phones back in the day.
Right.
So CrossFit is an evolved form of cross-training.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So we use barbells, the human body, dumbbells, kettlebells, gymnastics movements, sports movements, etc., to make the body a more efficient machine.
Okay.
You know, make the body more powerful, faster, stronger, be able to endure more, have more stamina, more flexibility, etc., etc.
Right.
What makes CrossFit different to other regimes is that we combine all of these things into one workout.
Right.
Or maybe two workouts.
Uh-huh.
So in one workout, you can have strength, power, endurance, all that stuff being developed at the same time.
Right.
Whereas traditional workouts, you have a strength workout, and then another day you come in, you do endurance, another day you come in, you do flexibility.
That's
you see,
right.
So that's one of the main differences with CrossFit. What makes CrossFit different as well is the community involvement.
Uh-huh.
So CrossFit is heavy, heavy, heavy on group training. Everybody
right.
comes in, everybody knows each other's name. It's like that TV show Cheers,
yeah,
you know, where everybody knows your name.
Yeah.
Exactly. The camaraderie thing. So you have a baker, you have a banker, you have somebody who runs their own business. Everybody's side by side. So you have managers and everybody else just being chummy together, you know, and a housekeeper.
Yeah.
Exactly. Everybody's
yeah.
together. Yeah.
Okay. So, and I've noticed that, like, they get together in their classes and it's almost like a family, and I notice that they seem to cheer each other on.
Yep.
And so I think that's really good to help motivate.
Right.
And I've noticed too, you've got slim, you've got big, you've got fit, you've got not so fit. And they're all mixed in the classes, and nobody seems to care who's where.
No.
Even the women. And I know certain gyms, they would develop female gyms just because the women were self-conscious. But I realize everybody's very focused and directed here. And I've noticed the women don't seem uncomfortable in what they're wearing and how they display themselves. They just do what they have to do.
Sure.
And it's quite vigorous. I've noticed also, too, the respect that they have for you. It's almost like a sensei kind of discipline.
Well, it's true. Everybody comes in to a CrossFit facility. It's not just ours.
Uh-huh.
It's unique to CrossFit as well, where everybody comes in and you're on an even keel, as they say.
Right.
There's mutual respect because The one thing that is true about every single workout is that it pushes you to the max, no matter who you are. So there's no room for ego, right? If you come in here with an inflated ego, you end up getting yourself hurt,
right,
or you end up hurting others. And nobody wants that, right? So once you come in here, no matter how strong you are, no matter how fit you are, or lack of fitness, or lack of strength,
mm-hmm,
everybody's on the same keel. Now, having said that, everybody starts with a weight that is suitable to them. Everybody starts with an exercise that's suitable to them.
I saw when they were lifting
exactly
weights, some were taking off other people's
weights. Exactly,
weight.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So sometimes, for example, something as simple as a squat. Everybody squats. Everybody sits in a chair. Everybody sits on the toilet every single day.
Right.
But the depth of the squat varies depending on how strong you are and how fit you are.
Right.
So a beginner like you may not come in and do a squat where your butt is all the way to the floor.
Right.
Right. But someone who's more experienced will be doing that.
Right.
See, so
and
even though everybody's squatting, yeah, even though everybody's squatting, everybody's doing a different level of squat.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the males and females, again, it's camaraderie, everybody's family, so
mm-hmm,
no one feels uncomfortable,
mm-hmm,
right? And again, you leave the ego outside. So when I tell Jen Emmanuel, no ego, you know, they understand what that means. When I tell the ladies, you know, no ego, it's the same thing,
mm-hmm,
right? So it's not a male versus female thing. It's well, you know what ends up happening? It's you versus you.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, it's you versus you. So you decide, you know, what you want to do to push yourself beyond what you did
mm-hmm
yesterday and the day
and
before.
Set your own levels
and you set your own levels, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to the respect for the instructor, it is understood that the instructor is there to teach you something every single session.
Right.
You see, so that's where the respect comes from. Every single session here at Island Fit, we teach you something. Right, so it could be something that you've seen before or heard before or done before,
mm-hmm,
but we reinforce what you've already learned or remind you of what you're supposed to be doing every single time.
Right.
So that's where the respect comes. It's not even a situation where I am fitter than everybody in the class. It's not that. It's that I have more knowledge,
right,
and more experience, but it's not that I'm necessarily fitter.
Right.
You know, I mean,
mm-hmm,
just this Saturday we had a water workout of the day,
yeah,
where I came like fourth or fifth.
Right.
You know, so it doesn't matter the fitness level, isn't it? It's just that the respect is there from the knowledge and,
right,
and experience.
Well, and that's there used to be that old adage, those who can't teach.
Right.
But we already know you do,
yes,
because
right,
we've known that you have a history of always being into the development of physical being,
right,
and bodybuilding and just
right,
healthy aspects of things. So now, I've noticed, like, you have various types of classes.
Right.
You have to share about the Mary.
Right.
Because we know that's your princess, yes.
Right. So Mary stands for, well, just for those who don't know, it's MERI. Meltdown Extreme Rush Interactive. The meltdown part, we started as Meltdown. It wasn't always called Mary.
Uh-huh.
It started as Meltdown, and it stood for Meltdown Fat Loss.
Right.
You know, so you're melting the fat off your body.
Uh-huh.
But I did a quick internet search after a few months in operation, and I realized that there are a ton of Meltdown programs out there,
right,
the world over. So we had to differentiate ourselves.
Okay.
So then we became Meltdown Extreme Rush Interactive, or Mary for short.
The extreme part.
The extreme part. The extreme part is it stands for Extreme Rush.
Okay.
Right, so that's the exhilaration, the pumping of adrenaline, and so
yeah,
on and so forth that you feel during the class. And it's each and every class you feel that.
Okay.
During the class, you may not feel, you know, very excited and very, you know, very.
But that rush, it still comes from that adrenaline.
Exactly,
system.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Once you get through the workout, you feel pumped and so on and so forth. Now, the interactive comes from the community involvement as well as the interaction with the coach.
Right.
One of the things that's unique with us is that the coach of the program is always accessible, whether it be WhatsApp or text message or email and so on and so forth. Unlike a lot of other programs in the country, we make sure that we interact with our members and interact with our participants.
Once you sign up with a quote-unquote typical gym,
right,
you come, you do your session, and then you're
it.
Done.
Exactly.
And then you see them whenever the next session
exactly
is or whatever.
Correct.
And if you can't make it, you just don't show up and nobody cares.
Nobody cares, exactly.
Right.
What we do here, actually, is that every month we call the members who we have not seen for a little while.
Right, just
you know, just to check on them. We're not trying to force them back into the facility
right
or anything like that. We're just checking to make sure everybody's okay,
right,
and that they're taking care of their bodies and so on.
But and I think that's good because,
right,
it, like you said, it makes it more personable.
Right.
I've joined gyms,
yeah,
and I've gotten busy. I've ended up with the CDs and I have to do them at home.
Right.
Well, there's nobody to motivate
exactly
me there, and
exactly
it's never fun working out by yourself.
No.
It's the most
no
boring thing in the world.
Right. And hard.
And it is
hard.
Because you feel pushed or
yeah
you feel like you have to do it because the other person is counting
that's
on you
right
to do
that's
it with
right
them. So
that's right.
And then it's camaraderie because then you don't, it doesn't
exactly
feel as strenuous because you're actually sharing.
Exactly.
And so I think what happens is when you just don't show up, nobody calls you, nobody cares. And they think, why not?
Yeah.
And then there's also that thing where, like you said, with the adrenaline rush of it all, a lot of people who are going through emotional things,
right,
there's
exactly.
a whole mental aspect
exactly.
of it. If
there's
a
catharsis.
That emotional
there's a catharsis
thing,
there as
yeah,
well.
You
yeah,
you sort of bond with them,
yeah.
friend to friend, mano a mano
Correct.
Kind of thing.
Correct.
So you're not just, technically, when you think about it, you're a personal trainer and you're also sort of a life coach.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's just it. Personal training has a. Personal trainers aren't psychologists,
mm-hmm.
but there is a psychological. Lean towards in personal training.
Right.
And same thing with coaching. You find the best coaches in the world are personable people who are willing to listen. We can't solve problems,
mm-hmm.
but we can certainly listen.
But it's a support. And
yes, it's a support. Exactly.
Support
exactly.
And sometimes people just want to know that somebody cares.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah. Very good. Now you've got different sessions because when I came in, you already, I guess that was the CrossFit end of it, the superhuman aspect of it, that just blew my mind because I just saw people going at it and they were leaping like lions onto these
right.
boxes and then they were just jumping down and then they were lifting weights and then they were pumping weights and then they were moving real quick and then squatting really fast
right.
and I thought, I would have passed out. And then there was the other class, which was
the Mary class.
I don't know how merry they were, but they were still working out. But it was more like a beginner's class, I guess.
Well, I wouldn't say that. The difference between merry classes and the CrossFit classes
mm-hmm.
are that the merry classes are body weight based
mm-hmm.
with some sandbag training thrown in there and some athletic drills.
Strengthening.
So it strengthens the body and your movement patterns and your ability to use your own body and control your own body through space and so on and so forth.
Right.
The CrossFit classes involve barbells, kettlebells. Yes, they do body weight training as well,
mm-hmm.
but you have implements as well, right? Whereas the Mary classes are more body weight based with some sandbag training as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And right now, as we're speaking, there's another session going on, and you have another coach here?
Right. That's Coach Jason, and he's doing a fitness test now.
Okay. All right. I remember doing those things back in public school.
Right.
Yeah, I was much fitter back then. We won't go there now. So now, your coach, he's a coach. Are there any other coaches here?
Definitely, definitely. So it's myself, Coach mm-hmm. Gary. Then there's the two other owners who are on island because we have...
Doctors.
Yes, the doctors. Doctor.
Which is good to have connection with.
Correct, correct.
Because then you're not just dealing with a personal trainer, but you've got a physical...
Exactly, exactly. We are the only...
It's an athletic
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, we're the only fitness facility on the island that is owned by two medical professionals.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And it really informs as to our programming and so on and so forth to make sure everybody's safe and healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So we have Dr. Gareth McIntyre,
okay.
who's an OBGYN.
Okay.
He's also the head of our pre- and postnatal program, which is very, very popular.
Very good, yeah,
you know?
Because I can imagine a lot of these women like to work out.
Exactly.
It's good for them,
exactly.
too.
Exactly. We just got our first CrossFit baby being born. And then...
CrossFit baby, that's
yeah, and within
cute.
Within a manner of 3 days, I think, we have the second one.
Okay.
So we now have two babies.
And you want to do the workout before.
That's
and,
right.
And ladies, we know we really need to do it afterwards,
exactly.
and we're not in a hurry to
there
do it.
There you go.
Okay.
So that's Dr. Gareth McIntyre.
Uh-huh.
And then we have Dr. Philip Gaskin.
Okay.
He's an anesthesiologist, and he works closely with Dr. McIntyre.
Oh, good, okay.
And Philip is, his passion is triathlons and long distance stuff
right.
and so on and so forth.
Uh-huh.
So he's passionate about that, and he informs us as to what ideas we can put forth to bring along the triathlon community, the swimmers and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
He is an integral part of our athlete development program for 13 to 18 year olds.
Yes, because yeah? I realize you guys started, you just launched.
We
that,
just launched that, yes.
Where you'll be training athletes. And
correct.
I think that, me personally, not being athletic,
right.
but being seriously injured, have realized that sports injury clinics
yeah.
work better with me because when I go to my chiropractor,
right.
who is accustomed to dealing with athletes,
mm-hmm.
he can adjust me and I'm well.
Yeah, yeah.
Another chiropractor
level.
I go and I've got to keep going,
yeah.
and you get tired of it.
Yeah.
But they know exactly what aspect of the muscles to get you
correct.
Moving. So and I'm a busy person.
Right, so you can't waste
time. I may be injured, but most people don't know I'm injured
right,
half the time
you're moving.
Because I'm forever doing stuff.
Yeah.
And I think he has that in mind.
Yeah.
and realizes that he knows exactly where things need to be adjusted, what
right.
I need help with, and will also talk me into the things that I
need to do
to try to keep
yeah.
to maintain.
Yeah.
And I think this is really good.
Yeah, our athlete development program is really focusing on getting proper movement patterns practiced by those young athletes.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what can lead to injuries, is if you, as a young athlete, don't pay attention to proper movement patterns
mm-hmm.
and proper eating and so
right.
on and so forth. So this is something that we launched because of our love for our country's athletics and our wish to see our country rise above in terms of the Olympics and international meets.
Mm-hmm.
So the ADP, the Athletic Development Program, is something that we just launched to get that done.
Yes, I remember that. That was very good.
Yeah. So we have that, and then we have another partner overseas, Mr. Andre Holder.
Uh-huh.
So he's more or less a silent partner, but he's over there as well. So there are four of us,
uh-huh.
and then Coach Jason as well. Coach Jason recently joined us. We have Coach Ryan as well.
Okay.
He's on board with us. He teaches Mary classes right now, and he's going to be teaching some CrossFit classes soon as well.
Okay.
So in all, there are six of us as part of the coaching team,
mm-hmm.
And then we have the other staff. You know, we have Sheena, who's front desk, and we have Russell, who's front desk as well.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, so we have a nice team here in our little establishment.
Okay. So now the question is, because I know you guys you're busy.
Yes.
To begin with, I know you're busy, and then this is taking place every single evening, basically,
yes.
and then on the weekends.
Yes.
So when do you sleep? And don't say on the job.
No. I get my power naps in during the day when I can. If it's a long day, then no, I have to wait until maybe like 10 o'clock at night.
Right.
And then I'm back up again at 4 o'clock in the morning to do it again. But that is the nature of our profession, to be honest
right.
with you. There are no personal trainers or fitness coaches out there that will tell you that they can sleep through
there
the night.
Be.
You know, well, there shouldn't be.
Yeah.
You know, the clients want what the clients want, and
uh-huh.
the members want what the members want.
Right.
The members want 5 o'clock classes, 5 a.m. classes, and
right.
they want 8 a.m. Yeah, they want 8 a.m., 9 a.m., 8 p.m., 9 p.m.
Supply
and demand, exactly.
Yeah. So now, you have a wife.
Yes.
All right. And so she probably doesn't get to see you very much. How is she feeling about all of this?
Well, she's been with me for many, many years,
right.
so she's accustomed to it.
Okay.
You know, we've worked out a balance,
right.
you know, and that's one thing I should tell people, is that marriages are about balance. It's not
teamwork.
About, yeah, it's teamwork, you know. So she knows this is about us, this is about our future, right?
Mm-hmm.
And whatever finances we make from here is our money.
Okay.
So she's a part of the team, yeah.
All right. And then you've just added the lady at the front, Miss Sheena.
Right.
Okay, lovely girl. Greeted me very nicely. I was able to take a picture of her. And so now, technically, this is the birthing stage, but it looks like it's not even just given birth.
Right.
Because you just opened,
yeah.
but so much has happened, so it's moved quickly. So God is good.
Yeah.
I think when God has a vision for you and it's for you,
mm-hmm.
they say what's for you is for you. I don't think I could describe it. I love the intensity. I'm trying to describe it. I'm going to put pictures up. I've taken pictures of the entire area. And when you walk in, you dealt with the softness at the door and the nice colors. And then it's combined when you get in, because it's almost a generic kind of hard
industrial
kind of look about it, but yet still you don't feel it because it's softened. And I like it because it speaks power. Just the colors alone. You walk in and you think, okay, this is a gym.
Yeah.
It's not all fluffy towels and
That's
there's
right.
no little sauna, whirlpool,
nope.
and that kind of
nope.
stuff. People come here to work out.
That's right. It is what you need when you need it, you know,
yeah.
without the extra frills.
Right.
You know, there are so many options out there for people who just want to stand around and chat around a water cooler.
Right.
Or get on a treadmill and just, you know,
kind
read their magazine
walk,
and pretend to walk.
Screen,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Been there, done that.
There's more than enough for that, okay? What we provide is what you need when you need it. That fitness, that drive, that motivation, the sound science behind it,
mm-hmm.
And record keeping. You know, we keep records, we put records on boards and so on and so forth. So you know, you have a target to aim for,
right.
and you go after it. And each time
it
you come in, you push.
Eventful, which
correct.
Is good because
correct.
Then it keeps you self-motivated.
Exactly, and it keeps it real. I mean, you know, there's or for example, or leaderboard that just went up. You can be number one today, and you can be number seven tomorrow.
Right.
You know, so it keeps you really. You can't rest on your laurels. It's not the typical gym. It's not a typical facility where you just go in and pretend like you're working out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're coming here to train.
Yeah,
you're coming here for a purpose. You know.
And I noticed that there wasn't anybody, even when they stopped to catch your breath.
Right.
You weren't hounding anybody, but I realized that they were determined.
That's right.
Because they would pause, they'd pause, and you could almost see, like, some would lean over.
That's right.
And they're not catching their breath, but you can almost see the mental, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. And they just motivated themselves. I even saw that there were cheerleaders amongst them, some of them, and it was the guys cheering on some of the girls, like, come on, let's do this, guys. It was really nice.
Yeah.
I enjoyed my evening. You would never say that you would enjoy hanging out at a gym.
Right.
Especially one that's so passionate and works so hard. It's very structured, the workout.
That's right.
But yet, so it was nice because you realize everyone really enjoyed being here.
That's right.
So what is next? Not just for CrossFit, but Mr. Carry Holder.
Well, personally, I am focusing on Carry Holder, the athlete, over the next coming year, year to 16 to 18 months, is developing myself as an athlete again.
Okay. And this is the bodybuilding aspect of it?
I'm done with that aspect, and it was more fitness modeling than anything else.
Right.
I'm done with that now. I'm going to return to the competitive stage as a CrossFit athlete.
Oh.
So that's what I'm aiming for over the next 16 to 18 months.
That's intense.
That is intense. That is very intense.
Wow.
I have a couple of injuries that I will have to overcome. So it's gonna be an uphill climb, but I'm ready for it. I'm willing to go. In terms of the box, we're looking to strengthen our athlete development program, make that bigger.
Mm-hmm.
We have something here called the Games Prep Course,
right,
which is preparing athletes for the CrossFit Games.
Uh-huh.
So we'll be pushing that as well.
Okay.
And then in general, just making the box even more customer friendly and what our members want. We want it to feel like home.
Yeah.
Right now we have a couple of initiatives that we give away. Massage vouchers and stuff like that to make people feel at home. We give away free fruit.
Right.
You know, we do things to make
incentives,
but not just incentives either. This just things to make people feel good about themselves.
Right.
We want our members to feel like this is part of their life, not just something to just
the mind, body, and soul.
Mind, body, and soul. Exactly. Not just something that you know you just do, but it's something that you are.
Yes.
You know, at the end of the day, this is part of your life.
Because there's a support system, not
correct,
just from the members, but from the staff, the
correct,
coaches, and knowing that there's backup and the access is very important.
That's right.
If you're going through something, sometimes you don't want to come to the
correct
gym.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, something as simple as providing food sometimes. Like we did a workout last Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
We provided food after it.
Yeah.
You know, something as simple as that,
right,
which is just a nice touch.
It's
you know,
difference.
to appreciate the members. You know.
Right.
Typical gym doesn't do that.
No, I think I've had to buy something
from
a pop machine.
Exactly. You never get it for free, right?
And I thought you couldn't even get change.
Exactly.
You had to come with the change, and if you wanted water, you were out of
correct
luck. Yeah.
Correct.
Well, it's been a wonderful evening. I'm really excited about what's going on here. You know, as you sponsor us, we're going to continue to promote you. But even if you weren't sponsors of our show, we would definitely keep our hands on. We love uniqueness.
Thank you.
We love spirituality.
Thank you.
And you know what? It doesn't shout Christianity. It just shouts good.
Right.
And that's what we're all about.
There you go.
Okay. Any shout-outs you want to do? What about that lovely wife of yours?
Shout-out to Stacey, my lovely wife.
Okay.
Also, a big shout-out to my Toronto family.
Yeah.
Okay. And Canada at large. You know, I spent 4 years there at York University.
Mm-hmm.
So Canada is, excellent school. Tintendavia. YU.
Yeah.
Just the whole of Canada. I love Canada. It's my second home.
Okay. Well, and you know, we're always welcoming you, so you're always welcome to
thank
come
you
back. Okay, so this is Pastor Jay Rouse, and as much as I don't want to sign out, I'm here on location at the CrossFit Island Fit, and I think I've got to sign out with the receptionist. I believe it's Sheena. Okay. She runs a tight ship up there. Amen. Praise God. Congratulations again, Brother Carey. Okay, and my very best wishes to all that you give birth to. Amen. All right. Thank you. God bless.
One.
Jay Rouse, and we're here live at the Blue Orchid Beach Hotel. Lovely place, beautiful scenery. It's dark outside, but it's still wonderful. At least it's cooled off for the evening. And I have the pleasure of sitting beside the very beautiful Denise Charles. She's an author, a columnist, a wife, a mother. Mm-hmm. There's so many more things. So we're gonna dive in there, right?
Yes,
now you've got some books that you want to tell us about.
Yes, my first book is called Your Baby's Coming Now, Push,
mm-hmm.
the book about pregnancy, which is not about pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a book really about setting goals for yourself, pushing, learning how to push your ideas, your dreams, and your desires. I call them your IDs.
Mm-hmm.
And getting them out there, because it's important that each of us connects with our purpose.
Yeah.
So it's a great motivational book. I use a lot of anecdotal references from my own pregnancies, because I'm a mother of three sons and I had three very different pregnancies. And, you know, the challenges that women would face with being pregnant, I use a lot of those stories and so on and anecdotes to bring home the idea that we need to, you know, go through our morning sickness, we need to flush the vomit. You know, those are things we need to do if we're going to emerge the things that God has invested in our spirit.
Right.
So it's a really great book. It's a workable book as well. It's very interactive. There's
mm-hmm.
There are some things that you can do at the end of each chapter to move you along.
Okay.
But yet it's not too big a book. It's a great book for coaches and counselors and trainers as well.
Mm-hmm.
My second book, How to Have Mind-Blowing Sex Without Losing Your Brain, is the book that's caused a lot of uproar, both in Barbados and abroad.
Uh-huh.
And it's a book really designed to help us to come into connection with what sex was really meant to be.
Right.
Because we have a lot of things out there today in the media, both print media, what we see on the internet, what we see on television, that
mm-hmm.
sort of warps our understanding of sex and sexuality.
Right.
So the real premise of my book is that if we are going to have a great sexual relationship, which is something, by the way, that God wants us to have,
mm-hmm.
if we are in that context of marriage, that it is something that we don't need to be ashamed about, we don't need to be afraid about, we just need to understand sex and understand ourselves, because having great sex is not just about the act.
Right.
But it's about understanding why sex was created and so on. So it's a really great book, also very interactive with questionnaires and things that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
There's something in there called sexual mapping, where you get to look into your past and understand how you have come to have the vision of sex that you have.
Right.
And what that can mean for your relationship. So it's a really great book for couples as well as for singles.
We're actually going to be doing a segment soon on singles and dating.
Right.
And I've interviewed somebody in the U.S., wonderful, wonderful lady,
yeah.
Trinae Prosser.
Okay.
And she wrote a book that we had interviewed about. It was really unique, and
wow.
It was called Celibacy, What Was I Thinking?
Wow.
And it was funny, and she's
yes.
a comedian
yes.
as well,
yes.
but... and one of the topics that we discussed was almost ironic because mm-hmm. she said a lot of people who give the advice on being single and celibate
are married. Yes, this is true.
And so I thought, this is true.
Yes.
And so she thought it was time that somebody who was actually single
yes,
wrote a book. Mm-hmm. And because then at least a person can relate, because then they can say, well, I know what it's like.
That's right.
So now mm-hmm. you're on the other end of it,
yes,
and you're saying, guess what? We're not about celibacy because it's married couple we're
That's
talking
right.
about.
We're talking about
yes.
married couples, but even in terms of you're not being married,
mm-hmm.
You're waiting on that person, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you don't suddenly one day get up and, wow, I'm sexual, or wow, I'm married, I can now let myself go.
Right.
If you don't understand that, you can be wonderful and beautiful and sexy
mm-hmm.
even as a single woman, and
right.
celebrate the fact that God gave you a butt, he gave you breasts, he gave you a wonderful face, he gave
right.
you a shape. You're not a blob.
Uh-huh.
You know, you have a body with a shape for a reason.
Right.
And there's nothing evil about that. And you
so
have
it's,
to
it's
embrace
more the way you carry yourself.
Yes.
How you think within
exactly,
your own
how you think about yourself.
Thought.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really positive book.
And it's true.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I'm going to put this out there.
Because mm-hmm.
I don't know if anybody would ever consider Pastor J sexy, but I think it's true, because
yes.
when you feel good about you,
yes.
you are different. You become
are.
Different.
That's
you
right.
think different. You
yes.
act different.
And
you move different.
You exude a certain energy
yes.
that people
yes.
connect with.
Yes.
So we want to redefine this whole sexy thing as it's not about being lustful and you know
and debased
and trashy.
Right.
That's not what we're
mm-hmm.
talking about. We're talking about being confident, understanding that you're a woman or you're a man as God has made you,
mm-hmm.
and your sexuality is something to be celebrated. Because when God made, if you look at Genesis, he says he made them male and female,
well,
created.
For them. Yeah.
You know, and that's our sexuality right there. We are created man, woman for a reason.
Right, right.
You know?
And it's funny because I guess too, when you think about it, the church doesn't like to deal with it. Even
no, it doesn't.
Even if you're not single or married, or if you happen to not if you're married
mm-hmm.
and you're single, they won't deal with it either way.
Yes.
And I think the topic of not being married is a fear for them.
Yes.
But I think even if you're married,
mm-hmm.
you have a tendency to, the church still won't discuss it.
Exactly.
The church will never do marriage counseling.
Yes.
And when
or
they,
if
do,
they do, it's very vague.
It's very vague. It's
very,
about,
very vague.
You know, they teach you the basics of
That's
loving
right.
your neighbor as yourself. And this one is really close and
exactly,
right in your own home.
Exactly.
And
they will
funny.
Say something generic like, oh, the Holy Spirit will teach you when it comes to sex. You don't have to worry. Now, I'm not saying the Holy Spirit doesn't have the power to teach you about sex.
Right.
But that does not mean that we cannot access good knowledge,
right.
read good books, good educational material,
mm-hmm.
understand our bodies, understand our needs, and so on.
Right.
Because God is going to teach us doesn't mean that we don't start from somewhere with some basic knowledge about
right.
who we are.
And it is. It's a very, it's a touchy subject that a lot of people don't like
still
to deal
taboo,
with.
Still very taboo.
I think
taboo.
Even when I had Trinae Prosser on, people were like, what? I'm going to hear what this show is all
wow.
about.
Yeah.
It's not as trashy as people make
no,
it sound.
It's
actually
no.
a beautiful thing.
Yes, it is.
And I think some of us are taught that it's, you know, go forth and multiply.
Yes.
Well,
but
I was married and I went forth and I didn't multiply.
Yeah, and there's more to it than that. There's
yeah.
more to it than that, because God didn't just, yes, he created us so that we could, you know, populate the earth. He
right.
didn't give Adam and Eve that instruction, but that's not all there is to sex.
Yes. Well, my theory was, and I discussed this once before counseling as a couple, I said,
mm-hmm.
does it feel good? And they're like, yeah. And I mm-hmm. said, okay, it's supposed to feel good.
Yeah.
And that's why. You're
exactly.
supposed to enjoy it.
Exactly.
I said, if the bottom of your feet tickles and you laugh, then you enjoy it.
Exactly.
I said, if sex feels good and you're enjoying it, then enjoy
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
We deal with limitations.
Mm-hmm.
We're taught certain things on how we're supposed to. And like you said,
mm-hmm.
it becomes a matter of what were you taught? What were you led to believe?
Yes.
And some of the, I guess some of the most intimate moments between a man and a woman isn't even physically sex. It's
but
actual just touching.
Exactly. But yeah. even so, from my experience as a counselor and counseling married couples and counseling women, even within the church, I've found that many women have very negative feelings about sex,
mm-hmm.
especially those who may not have been experienced,
right.
those who may have married as virgins or with very minimal sexual experience.
Mm-hmm.
I find some of them have they have a very hard time letting go. They have a very hard time being spiritual and sexy, even with their
yes.
own husbands,
yes.
because they think, okay, it's okay to pray, it's okay to fast, it's okay to lead worship,
mm-hmm.
but it's not okay to have sex, or it's not okay to enjoy
it. Or be sexy.
It, right,
yes.
and to let myself go.
Right.
So I think that is something that a lot of women in church still struggle with.
Yeah.
Even though we've made lots of strides in terms of being able to talk about it, there's still a whole range of women who feel fairly negative about sex and they're struggling alone.
Yeah.
They're not talking about it.
That's true. Well, because it's a taboo topic usually
yeah.
in a church.
Yeah.
And I think too, you know, I like to think biblical,
mm-hmm.
like, and how the man sees the beauty in the woman. Solomon puts it in the
yes,
best way.
He does.
And he wasn't afraid to be intimate about
yes.
his words about
That's
how he
right.
felt.
He said he would be ravished with his woman's
exactly.
breath and so on.
Yes.
But he's not.
And I think there's a boldness that comes with that because
mm-hmm.
you have to learn that it's okay, to be feminine around
yes,
your husband.
That's right.
For the same reason a man is allowed to be a certain way with his,
wife. That's right.
And I think more marriages would probably last longer if they were allowed to be free.
Yes.
Is that a word I can use, to
yes,
be free?
Of course,
because
to be
I think
to be liberated.
We are free in the spirit
yes,
of the Lord,
right.
but we're still bound up. Amen?
Yes, that's right.
Amen. Praise
yes.
God. Now, you have done some columns with a lot of these magazines.
Yes, I have. And that's something that I'm very happy for because I just saw God opening up doors for me to just write in a number of domains,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily within the context of church, and that's not where my interest lies, actually, because I see myself as being able to more or less put forth God's wisdom
mm-hmm.
in terms of what I'm able to talk about. I don't have to put God in each sentence. I don't even have to put God in a sentence.
Right.
It is the wisdom of God that I write with.
Mm-hmm.
And that opportunity to write for various audiences is something that I love to do. I love to interact with all types of people.
Mm-hmm.
So I will talk to all types of people. I have counseled all types of people. And so I do write for a number of international websites and magazines, as well as the local column in our paper here in Barbados. I also write the Sex
okay.
Talk column every week in
okay.
the Sunday paper.
All right. Now, you've got three sons.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
All very artistic. We're an artistic family
uh-huh.
because I'm in addition to what I do, I'm also a poet.
Uh-huh.
I'm a spoken word artist. I
okay.
love to perform as well, dramatist. I used to sing quite a lot. I don't sing as much these
mm-hmm.
days. But my children are all very gifted in the arts. My son actually, one of my sons is my graphic designer, so he does all of my work,
okay.
all of my book designs, all of my publicity shots. He's a photographer as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all artists within their own rights. They paint, they draw, they do music.
Okay.
So we're a very artistic family.
So you've trained up your child.
Yes, yes.
And
yep.
your child, and your yep. child.
That's right, that's right, that's right.
Amen.
That's right.
And we got to meet your husband earlier.
Yes, Gabriel. Wonderful man.
Yeah.
Artistic within his own right as well.
Mm-hmm.
He builds wonderful furniture with iron, right?
Okay.
So he has his own artistic talent as well. So
good.
We're a very close family. We've always been very family focused.
Mm-hmm.
We've brought our kids up in the church. We've exposed them to God from very young.
Right.
And they are all very expressive of God, how God operates in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily in a traditional way.
No.
But we're fine with that. And we don't try to box them into our mold.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we allow them to be, when they were growing up, you know, we allow them to go to parties. We allow them to go out and, you know,
experience
and to experience life, not
right.
to try to experience life as we did when we were growing up. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever we allow them to do, we've seen them come back and they understand. They understand what they believe in. They understand who God is for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we're quite happy with that.
I think it goes into once you've sown that seed,
that's right.
you have to allow the trust.
Yes, you do.
So because I think we tend to be so strict and
yes.
staunch that
yep.
we want to protect our kids from the world. But
yes.
the Bible
no.
says
mm-hmm.
that we should be in the world but not
of
the world.
Yeah.
And so it's very hard for us to kind of blend in.
Yeah. And I'm quite amazed at how they
and
think.
We don't go because I know there's a lot of churches they won't go certain places because there's drinking going on.
Yeah,
well,
no,
you don't
not,
have to drink,
we're
you know.
Not, yeah, exactly,
you know,
yeah.
And so I think we have to learn how to function.
Yeah, yeah.
And
but if you look at Christ,
mm-hmm.
and who Christ mingled with,
mm-hmm.
I think then we have to begin to redefine our role as a church.
Right.
And we will hang out anywhere with the unsaved, with people who don't know God, and we don't hang out with an attitude. We don't have to hang out and say, "Oh, the Christians are coming."
Yeah.
No. But we are there, and we believe that our light is shining because
right.
we're different. I have sat at restaurants with people. Everybody at my table
mm-hmm.
was not a Christian. Nobody
right.
at the table was a Christian.
Right.
There were even one or two homosexuals at the table.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody looked at me and said, "There's something about you. I don't know what it is.
Yes.
You're different."
Exactly.
And you understand what I'm saying? And there was, I wasn't talking God. I wasn't
no.
talking the Bible.
You were being you.
I was just being
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
she said, "What is it? What is it about you that's so different?"
And that's your ministry right there.
Exactly. You
yeah.
know? So and that's how we've trained our kids to be as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to interact with all kinds of people, but just be different.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing because you should stand out,
yes,
but not in a negative way.
Not in a negative way.
As I was saying, my show
mm-hmm.
is based on everything outside of church and conference.
Mm-hmm.
I want the world to know that we have fun, that we laugh, we
That's
do
right.
some amazing things.
Yeah.
I cover non-Christian things per se, and I
yeah.
say that very weirdly because
mm-hmm.
I will go places, not into like a nightclub or a strip joint
yeah,
or anything
yeah,
of that nature,
yeah,
heavens
yeah.
no.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is I go to places that most Christians probably think they can't
they
go.
They can't go, yeah.
And I cover things there to let them know you can still go in and
mm-hmm.
you are actually surprised.
But don't we go into the bank. Don't we go into the bank.
Well, yeah, because
don't
the money
don't we go into the colleges
there.
And the universities
but that's the thing.
And
they
the insurance companies.
To the necessities
they're
of
all
life.
The, but they're the world.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the world,
exactly,
too.
Exactly.
You know, so we shouldn't stigmatize one aspect of it. It's the world. It's all the world. It's all filled with sin,
mm-hmm.
and Christ wants to redeem it all.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Now, you have a show?
Yes, I do have a show on Blog Talk Radio,
mm-hmm.
Wiser, Stronger, Better.
Okay.
People can go on Blog Talk Radio. They can put in my name, Denise J. Charles.
Okay.
And they will find my show. There are lots of archived shows there
mm-hmm.
from what that I would have done before on various aspects of relationships or
mm-hmm.
on being a woman. I don't just talk about sex. I also talk about developing yourself and dealing with things like abuse and so on,
mm-hmm.
or what you need to look for in terms of red flag in a relationship. If it's you're in a relationship that's dangerous and you need to get out,
right.
what are the things you need to look at?
Right.
I talk about things like emotional adultery,
mm-hmm.
How do you recover from infidelity. So I deal with a wide range of topics. They can also follow my blog,
mm-hmm.
Red Apples. If you type in Red Apples, or you type in my name, Denise J. Charles, if you Google me, you'll
mm-hmm.
find all the things that I do.
Okay.
It usually comes through Google.
All right.
So it's just, you must include the J, Denise
so,
J.
So do you have anything coming up that we need to know that we can get an exclusive on? What's going to be taking place with Denise
J? I don't have anything right now coming
mm-hmm.
up. The last thing I did would have been I opened the fall season on Rogers TV.
Okay, yes, right. In Toronto. Okay,
yeah,
all right.
That was just a couple, like last week, I
mm-hmm,
think.
Very
yeah,
good.
Yeah. Apart from that, I don't have anything coming up right now,
mm-hmm.
but people just need to stay tuned. I have on a YouTube channel as well where
mm-hmm.
I do something called an apple a day.
Okay.
Bite-sized tips on
yep.
love, sex, and relationships. It's a video blog that I do.
Right.
It's 3-4 minutes, so people can stay tuned to my YouTube channel as well to see what's coming up next.
So now I have a private question for you.
Sure.
Inquiring minds want to know. Now that you're so bold about mm-hmm. sexuality,
yes.
were you always like this, or is this something you developed?
I really was always like this. I
yeah.
really was. I've always been a very bold person from
mm-hmm.
the time I was a child. My mother would always say, Denise, you would say anything. You would tell anybody anything. I always had that about me. I'm sort of like a barrel of contradictions because there was a part of me that was very shy and reserved, but also another part, but still waters run deep,
mm-hmm.
always something in me that could emerge and would emerge.
Right.
But yes, when I would say, when we first got married, when I got married, I was 19, when we first got married, we used to attend a couples group, and I always would make lots of observations, lots of contributions. people want to know at the time if I had studied psychology, and I hadn't as yet,
mm-hmm.
because I have a master's degree with a focus in psychology. I'm a
mm-hmm.
qualified counselor. I've taught from the secondary to university level.
Right, and you're a teacher
yes,
as well.
So I'm pretty diverse in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
So I think as time has gone on, I've become a lot more experienced in terms of working with people and couples and so on. I guess I probably developed a new boldness about
mm-hmm.
it, but I've always been very outspoken, always very outspoken, always
okay.
the type of person who would seek to be a catalyst by being controversial. So I guess God leading me in this direction was not a surprise.
Oh, see, I would know nothing about that.
Really? Yeah.
The rebel herself, Pastor J.
Exactly, you know, because I guess something God needs people to be catalysts,
mm-hmm.
to be different, and that's a part of the artistic spirit as well. And my children are just like that. They don't want to blend in. They don't want to
mm-hmm.
be. They don't want to be the same. They just want to be different.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a part of the artistic temperament.
Yeah.
You want to be different. You want to make a statement. You don't want to blend into the wall, to the wallpaper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to stand out in terms of your beliefs, your convictions, the things you feel strongly about.
Right.
And this is something I have seen multiplied within my family. So I know that it is a particular call upon my family. My entire family, we are exactly the same in terms of our desire to be different and
mm-hmm.
to make a mark, you know.
Now, relationship-wise,
mm-hmm.
Couples.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They've been married for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
They are having troubles.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the sort of thing that you would deal with?
Yes, it would.
You would sit them down?
Yes.
Now, would you particularly just try to find out what the issues are in the relationship, or would you just deal with the sexual aspect of it?
No, all types of issues I deal with, actually, not just sex. We do couples counseling right across the board
mm-hmm.
for those who are getting married as well as for those who are already married.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people will, most likely when people call, they do call with a specific problem.
Right.
Sometimes when they call with a specific problem and you begin to go in, you know, you begin to question and probe, then you realize that there are other things.
Oh, yeah, it usually is. There's always connection or
right.
something. They've been bitter for
exactly.
this long because of something
exactly.
else that happened, but this is
yeah.
the problem.
Yeah.
No, it's
but
not the problem.
Generally speaking, in terms
yeah.
of my counseling experience, very little of it has been directly about sex.
Okay.
Most of it is about other problems like,
mm-hmm.
well, infidelity is a
yes.
big thing.
That's a very painful thing.
Yes.
It's hard to
yes.
heal from.
Infidelity,
mm-hmm.
Jealousy. Dealing with issues of jealousy, right?
Insecurity. Because they're all connected,
yeah. Those are the more prominent things. Sometimes couples just needing to acclimatize to each other and understanding how to be together when it's a new marriage or a new relationship.
Well, and I think
something
to be on your own and to
mm-hmm.
be yourself
mm-hmm.
and then to bring someone else to add to that equation.
Yeah.
And in that smaller space,
yes, yes.
it becomes a bit of a challenge.
Yes, it does. So
mm-hmm.
learning how to adapt to being with someone else totally different,
mm-hmm.
I think that is one of the popular areas that we also counsel in.
Right.
You know, but once or twice, I've dealt with directly the sexual issues as well,
mm-hmm.
but people are still fairly conservative
right.
and afraid. Even in this era, I remember a wife came to me with a specific sexual problem,
mm-hmm.
and she came alone. And when I advised that I needed to see both her and the husband, he wouldn't come because
no.
he was totally embarrassed.
Well, yeah, and
he
I
was,
think
he was actually angry
men
with her.
Men tend to be a little bit more
he was angry with her for
shy about
me.
Certain things.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. But I've had situations where the men have booked the counseling session as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's unique.
Yes.
So when you think about it, you've just put your business out on the road.
Yes, I have. And what my husband and I, what we do, it's called Better Blends, Better
right.
Blends Relationship Institute, because
uh-huh.
we don't only provide counseling. Right now we have a fully interactive course called Marriage 101, where
mm-hmm.
we're preparing couples for marriage. And it's not just a sit-down counseling session, but it's an actual
interactive
training session.
Right.
You get a manual, you get to watch video, you get to write, you get to journal,
right.
you get to talk.
To share.
To talk,
yeah.
to share.
Yeah, that's
right?
good.
So it's a very interactive program. It's
mm-hmm.
six modules. Why do I want to get married, communication 101,
mm-hmm.
and so on. So looking at finance and so on, looking at sexuality. So it's a really detailed program, and we're running it currently,
mm-hmm.
and there are several other programs we have on the on the works to come
okay.
up. You know,
so I can clearly say that church girls do rock.
Oh yes. Oh yes, we do. We rock.
And I think that's a stigma because, like you said, and it's funny because I'm actually proud of some of the younger girls that are coming out.
Yes, yes.
They're not worried if their skirts. A little above the knee. You notice my wording.
I understand you.
But they're still who they are. They're bold in who they are.
And they love God.
And they love God.
You know, and you can't tell now, oh, her jeans are too tight, so mm-hmm. she must be. No.
Yeah.
You know, I love my jeans tight.
Or you gotta,
I'm sorry.
You gotta carry yourself.
I have.
Right?
I know, I love my jeans tight. I told my husband that I will not wear flat pants. I have a butt. I must wear my jeans. Must wear my jeans that he can see them.
Speaking of putting more out on the road. But I think this is good. But I think to become into a comfort zone, I think, too, you have to be comfortable in who you are.
Yes, you do.
In your skin, so to speak.
You do.
And once you become that comfortable in your skin, then it's easier to do
that with
somebody
else. You don't worry about your imperfections.
And you know what? It's so funny because I've told so many females that they worry. And I said, if a man loves you... Mm-hmm. The things that you worry about, he hasn't even noticed.
That's right.
And if he has, because you'll notice, I'm going to put this out there, okay, Pastor Jay, go for it. But when a man will hug you from behind, the one place he puts his hands, just around your waist and a little lower down and not quite where it should be, but is probably the one area most women panic about and think, oh, my goodness, I call it my kangaroo pouch.
Yes. True. What you're saying is so true.
And we will lose our minds, and they will touch it, they will hold it,
It doesn't seem to bother them.
And half the time, you spend your time going, oh, my word, oh, my word, oh, my word, and he's just so in love and so happy, and you're thinking, oh, please move your hands, or you will move them. And I think... Like we said, becoming comfortable in your own skin.
I think that comes with experience and age. I find with women, women as we go through our developmental stages, in our later teen years, in our 20s, we are more obsessed with how we look.
Yes, the body and the transition of it.
I am still obsessed with how I look, but not in that type of way.
Right.
You know, we're afraid of the bulges. We want to know how we look.
Yep. Extra,
how we look. We want a dim light. We want the light dim so that I can hide this bulge. But as a woman goes into her late 30s, 40s, even 50s, it's like, oh, please. Whatever, you know.
Well, and it's funny because I had a discussion with someone the other day, and I said, I put it on my Facebook page a while ago, and I said, I wish my cellulite was like my cellular phone.
Oh,
that I could just switch it off.
Oh my God, that's good.
But I think we become so insecure about stuff, and I think when you think about it, it is so funny because what is the song, When a Man Loves a Woman?
That's right.
When can't keep his mind on nothing else.
Nothing else.
And it's a fact because I think we worry about how we look, our face, our body, and he's not even bothered because he saw beyond that.
That's right.
And when you think about it, love really isn't so much how the person looks, but the feeling you get when you're around that person.
That's what it is, really. It's not, you know, we want to make the outside look attractive, and there's nothing wrong with that. I do believe in being as attractive as possible, for both men and women, not just women, by the way. I think men need to pay attention to how they look.
Yes, I agree.
Because we are visual as well.
Yep, I think we're not.
Yeah, we're visual as well. We know that men are visual. We know what it's like to be with a man. You're out to date or whatever, and you know.
You want him to be presentable.
The head. No, I mean his head does a double take because a very beautiful woman walks.
Right, that's natural.
You know, it's a part of that. You know, nothing is wrong with the first look; it's the second look.
Oh,
so you can look once.
Hold that thought, sister. I've got to make a note.
Right. You know, you can look once. Don't look back. You know, you can look once. I'll kick you under the table.
Yeah.
You know, but you can look once, and that's fine. You know, acknowledging somebody else's beauty or that they're handsome is okay. But we have to do as much as we can to keep ourselves attractive. But at the same time, balance that with knowing that it isn't just the physical. It's the personality, it's the spirit, it's what we really connect with in that person that really keeps us, that is what will keep us together. You know, I've been with my husband from the time I was 15, okay? So, right? So it's like, you know, I've known him all my life. It's like, I cannot imagine being without him because we've just been together for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And we had two totally different upbringings and so on. I was in church, he was not.
Right.
And so on. But I'm just saying all of that to say that when I think about him, yes, he's 6'3", dashingly handsome. All of that.
Stop selling your husband on him. The
right.
show is not selling her husband.
Right, all of that. But at the end of the day, when I remember, when I think about our relationship, I think about the times we've been through together.
Right.
I think about the bad times because we had lots of bad times.
Oh, yeah.
I think of the good
every
times.
Couple,
yeah?
Every couple does, and that's the problem. I think that's when you know what your marriage is made of,
that's
being
right.
able to get through the hard
that's
times.
That's right. You know?
And
I think of
the bumps are gone, then the road gets smoother
that's
again.
That's right, it does. So we need to balance it out.
You know, I'm glad you said that because I think we have so many independent women. I myself, an independent woman, but I still believe that, you know what? We've given up hope on finding good men, but there are still good
men still
around.
Good men out there.
It's just a matter of, you know what? God is going to find that man and bring you in his presence when you least expect it. And it's funny because the majority of men that I've actually met, I always laugh because you find out that they've been around and you've just been yourself.
Yeah.
You weren't dressed to the nines. Your hair was blowing in the wind and just scattered mess. And you were just being you.
Yeah.
Only to find out that they've noticed you some time back and you looked your worst. And I can remember saying to somebody, well, I guess now that I'm going to go for dinner, I don't really have to worry what I look like because you see me looking
my worst. That's right. Right.
We have to stop worrying about that.
I think men that are worth their salt are men that look beyond just the physical.
Yes.
Men that are worth their salt, the kind of man that you're going to want to be with, the kind of man you want to take home to mommy or granny, you know, the type that you want to introduce to your kids if you have kids from a previous relationship, is the type of man that is going to see past your exterior. He's going to see into your heart. He's going to connect with your spirit. He's going to want to be with you for who you are because at the end of the day, we're not always going to be young. We're going to grow old. We're going to get swivelly. We're going to get wrinkles.
And that's
and you want
thing.
Someone who's going to love you, who's not going to want to look
the
for
laughter,
somebody else.
The joy has to be there. And
that's
what I try to tell couples. It's not all sexual because when all that stops or has to stop.
I don't like to say it's not all sexual. What I want to say is that sexual is not always just the genitals.
The whole thing.
You know, there's a lot more to being... Because I see the relationship between a man and a woman, even when they're 90.
Yes.
It's so sexual, even if they're not having sex.
I was saying my uncle and aunt the other day, it was so cute. They just celebrated, I think, their 50th wedding anniversary.
Wow.
And it was so funny because I was touching my mom and I was showing her because we were all walking out. And I turned around and they were holding
him.
And I called my uncle over because I had to tell him. He's another minister. And I had to tell him something. And I said, excuse me, auntie. I said, can I borrow your boyfriend, please? And she blushed.
Oh,
it was so cute.
You know?
And they just celebrated their 50th.
Wow, that's cool.
And that's the thing. You've got to connect with your best friend.
That's right. That's
because
what marriage should
when I mean, there's so many things that can go wrong physically for a person that they're not able to do certain things in the relationship.
That's right.
But that friendship, that solidarity, that companionship is
that
what
remains.
Keep you
and
going.
And also the memory of what you shared before.
Yeah.
So even if you're not doing it, you know, you're not being, you know,
fully
you're not
physical,
fully physical like you might have been when you were 30 or 40 or 50, you know, the point is you have that memory.
Right.
You know, and that alone can also keep you glued together.
Yeah. This is good. Yeah. Is there anything else you want to add?
Well, for those out there in relationships, those of you who are married, I just want to encourage you to make your marriages better. And that's what we try to do at Better Blends because we believe that no matter what type of marriage or relationship you have, it can always be better. You never reach utopia. You never arrive. There's always room for improvement. You know, as long as I've known my husband, every day it's a new day, it's a new beginning. You know, there's still things about him I'm discovering. There's still things about me. Sometimes I wonder, what are you doing? What, you know, why are you behaving this way?
Right.
When he does something that I don't like, and I'm sure he says the same thing about me.
Right.
You know, so there's that newness that we have to keep fresh. We have to keep it there. Keep discovering life together. For those who may be single, enjoy your singleness.
Yes.
Celebrate you.
Oh, yes.
You know, celebrate yourself. learn to develop yourself, make yourself really interesting, get involved in things, get involved in your community, in your church, in a charitable organization, give back to your community, learn a new skill, develop yourself educationally, learn to be the best person that you can be, so that when that relationship comes along, it is not two halves making a whole, but a whole person being added to another whole person to make up that whole, because it's really not two halves. It's a better half. It's not about a half, being a half, but being a whole person. You know, that's critical.
Very well said. Yeah. Now, your books, they can be found online?
They can be found on Amazon.com. They're in the Kindle store. I do have paperback books in Barbados, but I don't have overseas.
Where in Barbados?
In Barbados at Pages Bookstore.
Okay.
You can get my second book. The first one is out of print. I have to bring in some more of those. But you can get the second book at Pages, or they're available from me, the author. Online, you can get them in the... Both books are available in the Kindle store. Just type in my name, Denise J. Charles, if you can't remember the name of the book, and they'll pop up.
Okay.
Yeah. Awesome. Your baby is coming now, Push, How to Have Mind-Blowing Sex Without Losing Your Brain.
My. That title is something to work for.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure. And your husband, yes, he's a very handsome man.
Thank
I know
you.
She's mighty proud. If you could see the smile on her face right now, and she's even blushing, but sadly, he's not here right now, but he'll be back, and I'll be sure to let him know that you blushed for him.
Yes,
praise God.
Thank you so much for having me.
God continue to bless you. God continue to give you the boldness to be who you are within him. Amen.
Thank you.
May he use you. May he allow you to prosper. May he allow your ministry to grow and can continue to guide you and direct you in his path on where he needs you to end. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
God bless
Thank
you, sister.
Thank you so much. Bless you, too.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. And who said the Pastor J. Rouse show wasn't controversial? Wow. That's a mouthful, to say the least. Phenomenal woman. Straight up, straight to the point. You can't get any better. And we will continue to stay in touch and see what sort of update she has, because we all have to learn certain things. Some things we like to hear, some things we don't. But it's a reality of life, Christian or not. Okay, now, speaking of women and women of power, and even more so, beautiful, talented, gifted women, we're going to check in very quickly on a phenomenal woman. We're going to hear part of her interview, and we will continue the segment on the next Pastor J. Rouse. I give you, ladies and gentlemen, Satcha Collymore.
Good afternoon. It's Pastor J. Rouse, and I'm here still live on location at the wonderful Blue Orchid Beach Hotel and in our interview studio room. And I'm here with the very lovely Satcha Collymore. We actually met in Toronto. She was part of the Caribbean Tales Film Festival and had a wonderful short film that she had entered in there, and I truly enjoyed it and did get the opportunity to actually speak with Satcha and said I would try and connect with her in Barbados. I'm sure she thought, sure you will. But I'm true to my word, amen. So when I say something, I mean it. So Satcha, thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, and she still looks lovely. My goodness, I don't know how you endure the heat.
Just breathe.
You just breathe?
Just breathe.
So now you live in Barbados, or you're a student here?
I am a student here. I just finished my undergrad at the Albarra Center for Creative Imagination last semester, and I started my first semester in my master's. So it's a master's in creative arts entrepreneurship.
Okay. Very busy.
Very busy.
And you're working on a thesis as well, you said?
Yes, I'm working on a new project, which hopefully I get to screen at the next Caribbean Tales.
Okay.
So I'm really excited for that. I'm still trying to decide whether I want to make it into a documentary or a short film. So I'm battling with that right now.
Very good. Okay. You're not going to give us a name or anything? Or no?
Well, my thesis topic, I'm still playing with it, from homemakers to bodybuilders.
Oh, wow. Okay. So basically you're saying the genre, the wide variety of who we are?
Well, it's that, but it's It's a little deeper than that. I'm using the bodybuilder in Barbados or the fitness model as a metaphor for the rise of women in Barbados and their struggle.
The strong one.
Yeah, the strong one. The struggle for them to reach a certain point to reach a certain point, and that wouldn't come up on me, okay. To reach a certain point in their lives, in their career, also battle with being that mother, that wife, and not making your husband, your partner feel emasculated.
I understand.
Okay, so your thesis then is a development, basically.
Right. It's still in development.
Of women of the past and today and
right.
where we've come, where we're going, and where we haven't moved to.
Okay.
it's gonna have a variety of facets of levels of you're going
right.
to be dealing with.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, let's talk a little bit about the movie project, which obviously will help direct us into the aim of your thesis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, originally, where are you from?
I am from Trinidad.
Okay.
I was born in Trinidad, left when I was 7, and I moved to Botswana.
Oh, wow. That's
my whole family moved to
very
Botswana.
Very different.
Yes. And then I went to school in South Africa, back to Botswana, and now I'm here in Barbados.
Wow. So you're really my international interviewer today.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. So now I guess I was going to say, how do you handle the heat? But I guess you're accustomed
to
it.
Well, I wouldn't say I'm accustomed to it because I really can't deal with it.
No?
That's why I loved being in Toronto. Although we had a few warm days.
Yes.
It was still bearable.
Well, being a Torontonian, I can assure you, they've been asking me to make sure I bring back some warmth and sunshine. So we've had some continued weather that
right.
was not so bad for the last little bit when I was there. I'm not sure what it's like now, and I don't think I want to take a look. But I get to hide away in air conditioning, and then I just go out in the heat in little spurts and then come back. But I kept thinking, how are these people surviving every day without air conditioning when...
Yeah.
I know my home in Windsor, we don't have the air conditioning. We were going to install it, but I'm not really there as often as I should be. But I thought, there were days when I get there in the summer and it's really hot, and I think, what?
I'm in classes and in the office for most of my afternoons, mornings and afternoons, so I don't really get to bear the heat.
Okay, you get to hide from
so
it.
It's just out of class to the next class, from class home.
I hear
That's
you.
That's all I get from the heat.
Wonderful. So now, Diaries of an Immigrant.
Yes, Diaries of an Immigrant.
I got to see that at Caribbean Tales, and I really loved it. I think I even posed some questions during the question period, and I told you, I got the fact that you like to do your little play on situations, and you're a symbolist.
Yes, I am.
That is kind of a unique category to put you in, but that's good, because I think symbolism shows depth. Of thought.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, and we were having a discussion before the actual interview about the movie itself. And as much as people don't seem to understand the reality of it, it's actually, even though that particular situation was made up, it is very common to happen in parts of even the West Indies. I wouldn't even just say Barbados, but around the world.
Yeah.
So what would allow you to pick a topic like this for your movie?
Well, whenever I hear about these women that come to Barbados and they have to endure this lifestyle, it really touches me and it really hurts me that they have to do that. And there's no support for them to have an alternative life. So I said, you know, I really want people to look at these women and not judge them and maybe see the other side of the coin, that they're not doing it just because
they want to,
but because they have to.
Right, right. And it's ironic because there was another movie, I don't want to give out the name in the middle of your interview, but there was another movie that was brought up in the Caribbean Tales Film Festival
who also had a woman of pleasure, we will call her. Mm-hmm. And it was the same thing. It was a survival method. It wasn't right. something she wanted to do, and she basically wanted out.
Mm-hmm.
And I know in your movie, and we're not going to give a lot away because we want people to be able to see this wonderful
right.
movie, we realized that it didn't start off that way, and it was out of necessity
mm-hmm.
for survival. So I kind of understand your theory that we really shouldn't be judging. And I'm going to say as Christians, we're not supposed to be judging.
Yeah.
And I think, sadly, we seem to be the most judgmental people in the world, which is unfair. So the character in your movie had a decent life where she was, or some kind of a decency, but needed to make money. And probably that is what brought her to Barbados?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And usually what happens is anyone who I can't see an immigrant, because technically they're not legal,
mm-hmm.
but they're immigrants nonetheless, would normally go someplace because they want to do better or have better or provide means of better. And we get that a lot in Toronto. We'll get people who do come legally and still work and be sending home wherever they're from, be it parts of Africa or the Philippines or the West Indies. They're still providing, because I know a lady who came to Toronto, got her papers, her status, and started working, got an apartment, and was forever sending stuff back. And she just got her children here from Jamaica. And it took 3 years. So it's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work, and people don't realize how difficult it is to live as an immigrant,
mm-hmm.
illegal or illegal.
Right.
Because especially like that situation of your Jamaican, is it your friend?
Yes.
It's similar to my character, because she moved to Barbados, and
she has children.
She has children.
Yeah.
Or a child, and mm-hmm. she has a sick mother at home.
Mm-hmm.
And what do? You are trying to make money to send, but you still don't know what is really going on at home.
Right.
You don't know if your child's eating. You don't know if your
right.
child, you know?
And you're working to provide for them
right.
so you can help take care of them, because where you are, you have nothing.
Right.
And so the whole purpose is to come and try to do better and give better, and to support the family at least while you're away, or to possibly even save money so you could go back home and live off a little bit of the
mm-hmm.
money. Okay. Now, this happens a lot.
Okay. That was just a small taste, and the conversation gets much, much, much deeper, because we get into the heart of who Satcher Kalamar is as a person, as a student, and in a creative mind of who she is, as well as a sneak peek into some projects that she's working on. Now, what we will do is we will definitely be continuing her conversation and interview on the next Pastor J. Rose show, and I believe we have that taking place on Thursday, but don't be surprised if you see a show before then. But in the meantime, check in with us definitely next Thursday, because Wednesday our regular show will not be aired because I will be on a plane. Okay? But remember, whatever it is, everything you do, just remember, if God allows it and God wants it, then it's okay, but only if the Lord says so. Go in peace, and God be with you. When? Oh, that's right. Until we meet again, may His grace be more than sufficient. Have a blessed night.
Hello. a smile. Do it forever. I once was lost, but now I am found. Here and do it forever.